And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. We're here, baby.
Yes, this is
a good week for some basketball. I was thinking about it this morning, getting ready for the pod, and I feel like we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
We love March. What a time to be alive.
Holy cow. I know some people say that March NBA basketball can get a little boring.
Yeah.
But then, like, college basketball just saves the day.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, well, whatever the NBA is lacking towards the end of the season, we totally make it up with college basketball.
Oh, yeah. It's so awesome.
So have you been watching lots of the games?
Oh, man. I think I've seen everyone, or at least part of everyone. Yeah. It's been so fun. Part of me is hating myself for the things I've slacked on. But, man, you just love basketball, so it's worth it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got the perfect setup.
That's right. Yeah, I got a nice projector.
Oh,
yeah. It works out. Well, we have an exciting episode today, as per usual. Of course, we'll talk about our past week's games. Andrew's going to pick player of the week, and we'll talk about our upcoming games, which is two this week. And then we'll talk about Tankathon, strength of schedule. We'll talk about the rookie assist record, give you a little update. We're going to talk about Kessler's three-point experiment and some injuries, of course. And then we'll talk about some NBA news. Of course, we're going to dive a little bit into March Madness, how our brackets are doing. And then we'll touch on local sports as usual.
Make sure to check us out on all the platforms. You know where we're at, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, any platform you have, we can find us there. Check out our past couple episodes as well. We've like talked a lot about March Madness, broken down the players that you should watch for in March Madness as a Jazz fan. So make sure to check those out. And yeah.
And this is episode 68 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, the Jazz have been busy since our last episode.
Sir.
They've been playing a lot of games. It feels like almost every day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we recorded a little early last week, so we have one extra game too. So it's like, we're just loaded up. We got lots to talk about.
Yeah, five games in 8 days.
Yes, sir.
Quite a bit.
That's
so
pretty wild.
But what that also means is there's only, seven games left in the season.
It's crazy.
So get ready. The lottery's coming.
That's right.
The draft is coming. We only have a couple more games left, most of them on the road. And I guess just two more home games the rest of the season. So we'll have to make sure to make those memorable.
Absolutely.
But the Jazz were busy losing this last week.
Yes,
they lost
all
their games. Was that a surprise to you?
No. I mean, I feel like this was the first week that we didn't predict any wins. Usually we try to.
Yeah.
But I want to say last week. Actually, yeah, last week, neither of us predicted any wins, so not really a surprise here. A tough schedule this week, but we started off with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Here at home, but it's the Celtics, unfortunately. Really the only bright spot that I saw, Colin Sexton had 30 points.
He did.
Other than that, it's a little rough. What stood out to you from that game?
Yeah, I mean, Colin Sexton and Keontae had 19. That's pretty
true.
All right. But I mean, in my opinion, like, we had no chance against the Celtics.
No, not at all.
It was a tough game. But if anything, we move onward. We're closer to the lottery.
That's right. They're helping us out. We're helping them out.
Yeah, everyone wins here.
That's right.
And honestly, that was a pretty common theme in the next couple.
Yeah.
Same thing against the Cavaliers. This was cool, though. Donovan comes back to Salt Lake. You know, even though he's been gone for like a while now, fans still love him.
Absolutely.
I do personally. I know some people are a little sad that he left, but I think for the majority of fans, they still love Donovan.
Absolutely. He's like a very personal guy. I feel like it seemed like he had a lot of friends in the organization, and it's cool whenever he comes back that he's just like dapping everybody up and that there's no hard feelings there, you know, or just, it's cool. I like it. It's good to see him back.
Yeah, and I guess Sam Merrill, our Utah State boy, he comes back too.
Right.
I saw one of the guys in my apartment complex went and got Sam Merrill's autograph. I'm like,
really?
Dude, where did you go? Like, you should have brought
me. That's sick, actually.
But yeah, Sam Merrill, he's been a beast this year.
He's
showing Utah some pride.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of those March Madness white boys that finds a role in the NBA and just runs with it. You got to love that.
Yeah, him and Ty Jerome off the Cavs bench have been like some of the best bench players in the league.
Absolutely.
But honestly, yeah, the Cavs kind of just spread out their scoring. It seems like they all just kind of did their own thing. Donovan only had 16, but their whole team did pretty well.
Yeah, I was really impressed by Kyle Filipowski, 18 and 13, 18 points, 13 rebounds.
He started 4 games out of the 5.
Yeah. I mean, talk about Isaiah Collier a little later, but it's hard for me to decide who's been the better rookie this year. I kind of think that they're neck and neck, in my opinion. I know Isaiah's been pretty good, but it's crazy that our basically second round picks are low-key some of the best players on our team. But that's what we want. We want to turn those late picks into these type of players. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more in depth later. But Walker Kessler shot 8 threes in this game.
Yeah,
I think that's the most he's ever shot by far.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I think he shot 6 against the Grizzlies. So we'll talk about that more. But
yeah,
crazy time.
Yeah.
And yeah, honestly, not a bad game for playing the Cavs. We knew that they were going to probably beat us.
Absolutely.
And then, interesting enough, this next game with the Memphis Grizzlies, we low-key maybe could have won, but it seemed like in the second half, we just, like, pumped the brakes.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know.
So I guess that's what you do in your tanking.
Maybe.
I thought Isaiah Collier played really good, 21 points. Colin Sexton, of course, 15 points. Other than that, just... there's just not a lot of guys jumping off the box score this week, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It's been just a kind of a bland week of basketball, but Grizzlies are in the playoff hunt. Did you see that they just fired their coach in spite of being...
I know, that was random. I feel like if you're like in the playoffs, it's kind of weird to fire your coach right before. I would at least wait till after the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know why they decided to do it right now.
There has to be more to that story. If there was some kind of like just tension or I don't know, it's weird. Yeah,
I did hear a report like Ja wanted the ball in his hands more, and in Taylor Jenkins' offense didn't really allow him to do that.
Yeah,
maybe that's part of it.
Could be.
We'll see. I guess maybe the ownership sided with Ja, and Ja maybe said like, "Hey, you either keep the coach
near
or me,"
him. Yeah,
and they have to go with him. I don't know.
That's the thing, though, is even if your Jaw, I mean, we already know Jaw's not like the brightest superstar in the NBA, that's clear, but
yeah,
even if you're like the players and things aren't going well with your coach, it's just like what in your right mind makes you think that making that change 9 games left in the season's gonna change anything? Like, I don't know, that's just pretty wild, honestly, but
interesting.
Yeah, but Jaw's lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible to give up 140 points.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if that's the season high for us, but it's got to be close.
Yeah, everybody was eating on our watch that game.
Yeah, I want to say just we gave up 138 to the Timberwolves at one point.
Yeah.
144 to the Clippers. I don't know if you remember that.
It's wild.
So that was not our worst defensive game, but it was pretty close.
And then we played the Rockets. We had a nice little homestand. This was the last game of our homestand. Kyle Filipowski again, I thought really looked really nice. 16.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks and 2 steals. So he was kind of just like all over the place. That he looked really nice.
He also is getting to the line, which I'm proud of. I know he's not always shooting tons of free throws. He's getting to the line. That's good.
We want him to be aggressive. Another guy that's jumping off the box score that I actually... went back and looked in all these games. Johnny Juzang scored double digits in almost all of our games this week. But he's kind of just at the bottom of the box score, so we always forget that he is there. But that's good for him. I mean, you know, he's not like winning us games, but he's playing well. He's better than Cody Williams, I'll say that.
He is better than Cody Williams, sadly.
Yes.
I don't know if it was this game or another game this week, but do you see that highlight? KJ Martin like airballed.
Oh, I saw it everywhere.
Really
dude.
Bad. Do you remember what game it was? I don't know.
Oh man, I don't.
But anyways, like that corner three like wasn't even close. Like KJ Martin might have had the worst airball this season.
It was, and then the announcer started flaming him because he was like wiping his hands, and the announcer's like, "That wasn't because of your hands, young man." Oh man.
Yeah, something with the ball or the net or, you got to blame it on something. I don't know. But other than that, KJ Martin's been okay.
Yeah.
But it's been a good pickup. Might just remember him because of that play. We'll see.
For real. Yeah.
Bryce Sensabaugh also had a pretty good game. He did not miss a single shot from the field. Let's five go. For five from three and six and a layup as well.
Yeah.
Good game for him too. Yeah. But then we finished the week off. Another tough team.
Yeah.
Going to Denver. They beat us by quite a bit. I don't know if you saw at halftime.
The floater or the full court.
Yeah. Jokic full court buzzer beater. That was crazy.
Man, we'll talk about award races, you know, later in the season, but I don't even think there's a question. This guy's just insane, yeah. Dude. Like, for a while I was thinking, oh, SGA is like up there with him, but Jokic is just like, he's on another stratosphere.
Oh my goodness.
It's insane.
Let me tell you, I know we're going to have a deep conversation yeah. about this after the season ends.
Absolutely.
But as of right now, it's hard not to pick Jokic.
Yeah.
But it's also getting to the point where I feel like the voter fatigue might really,
yeah,
really be tough for him.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. It's going to be a good conversation. And I mean, Jokic played really well
yeah.
in this game.
He might get that
27, 14, and 6. Yeah.
Yeah. He's incredible. He might get that LeBron level voter fatigue where it's like LeBron yeah. won, like, I think his only MVPs, it was like 4 and 5 years or 6 years, and then he never won one again, even though he probably clearly yeah. should have. So who knows? But
yeah, I mean, if you compare Jokic stats to Westbrook when he averaged a triple-double, mm-hmm. it's like he's better in every category.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Westbrook actually had a pretty good game. I think he had
yeah.
18 or 19 points, if I remember
17.
Right. Oh, 17. Yeah, that's yeah, right.
Pretty good.
I feel like the Nuggets has been his best fit since he left Washington. I mean, LA obviously wasn't, neither LA's situation was great for him, but Denver seems like a really nice fit for him. He'll be a good piece when they come into the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, he's kind of filling that, I don't know if you remember when they won the championship, Bruce Brown.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because Bruce Brown, guy. He like, yeah, utility guy. He's going to score in the paint mostly, mm-hmm. not as much from three. But my big concern is if they sag off Westbrook and he just can't make threes.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I know when he was on the Clippers, he totally made a positive impact, even though he wasn't making threes.
That's true, yeah.
Interesting to see how he'll do in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I guess in the Jazz side of things here, another great game from Kyle Filipowski.
Absolutely.
18 points, 13 rebounds.
Identical to the Cleveland game, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much did it again. He had a really good week in the starting lineup.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then our boy Colin Sexton, just consistency from him. He had 20 again.
Yeah. He's been our best scorer.
He's
over
been
the
our
stretch.
Cornerstone.
That's right.
But I guess that leads us to player of the week.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Right? I was like looking at him like, who is he going to pick? This is tough.
Yeah, I'll give an honorable mention after. But fair the guy enough. That I end up going with is Colin Sexton.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he was very consistent scorer this week. He had like 3 20-plus point games and one of them being a 30-point game against the Celtics. Yeah. He's been getting to the line. He's been actually a pretty decent three-point shooter this week too.
Yeah.
Just consistency from him. And I don't, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's 2 weeks in a row.
I think so.
Because I think you picked him last week.
Pretty sure
so shout out to Colin Sexton. Let's I guess go. When it gets into that late season, Colin mm-hmm. Sexton's that guy you got to watch out for on
Absolutely.
The Jazz. But then honorable mention, Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah.
I was considering putting him, but I just felt like I had to give it to Colin Sexton. Yeah. I think he deserves
Absolutely.
Another player of the week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we talked about last week how just underrated like member of this team. I feel like he does feel that kind of like, going back to Westbrook, Westbrook's that like energy guy. Like he's just, like you can't mm-hmm. not play hard when Westbrook's on the floor. And I feel like it's the same with Colin Sexton. Like when he's running like a madman near you, you're like, okay, I gotta get going, you know? He's
exactly.
just such an important piece on this team, so I like that pick.
Yeah, and so if you want, I have our leaderboard for player of the week. Walker
okay.
Kessler has 5.
Yes.
John Collins and Sexton are tied with 4 apiece now.
Okay.
So it's going to be kind of close. There's like maybe yeah. 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah.
We'll see who takes
the crown.
How
many does Lowry have? We haven't picked him very much.
Lowry has 2.
Okay.
We haven't picked him as much as
right. That sounds about right.
But we'll see who ends up winning it because John or Colin, if they get 2, they could pass Kessler at the end
That's
of the
right.
season. So.
Sure, there's a couple more weeks.
But speaking of next week of games,
yeah.
I think we're going to predict 3. right? Or two?
Just two, I think.
Just two. Yeah, that's right. We'll be recording on Friday, so we'll start with the Hornets on Monday.
Ooh, yes.
This is a very winnable game. We know the Hornets are not a great team.
Yeah.
In the Tankathon, they're right behind the Wizards. Jazz are number one, spoiler. But yeah, do you think we can go into Charlotte and maybe get a win?
We definitely could, but I don't think that we will. I did see, I don't know if you saw, LaMelo's having season-ending surgery,
right.
So he's out. But my prediction, I think this is going to be the game that locks up the Jazz's number one Tankathon spot. I mean, I know they're third, but this would be a good loss. I'd say we lose by 5. I think it's going to be
close,
but we'll get the loss.
Dang, you're making me kind of want to agree with you. Like, that just makes so much sense. Yeah. Like, I should probably agree with you. I just know, I went with a win just because I feel
that's
like
fair. I respect it.
The Jazz beat the Wizards that other game a week or two ago.
Yeah.
I know that they tank, but I don't know if they're tanking that hard.
That's true.
So I only put Jazz win by 3. So
yeah.
If it is going to be a win, it's not going to be by that much. Yeah. Is my thing.
I could agree with that. And then our second game of the week, we play Houston again. We just played them this last week, but we play them at their house this time. What do you feel? I think Houston's in the playoff hunt right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably fighting for seeding. Do you think Jazz could give them a scare?
I don't think so.
That's fair.
Which is fair. This one, I feel like the Rockets are totally like playoff push.
Yeah.
Like they might be able to lock up the 2 seed if they can win out.
Yeah, they're a game and a half ahead of Denver, who's in third.
Right.
So that's a pretty good
lead. And Denver's knocking on that door.
Yeah.
So I think they're not going to play any games. I think Jazz lose by 20.
Ooh, okay.
Big loss.
Yeah. I put similar. I said they would lose by 12. Or Jazz lose by 12. I think it'd be a big loss. I'm just trying to protect my leads. I'm going conservative there.
I just know that Grizzlies game, we lost by 36.
Yeah, that could be a good pick in the end.
That Cavs game, we lost by 29. So I'm trying to boost my margin a little bit. I think we could lose by 20. But
yeah,
that's either way, I guess that means maybe a win-loss with Hornets and then probably a loss with Rockets.
Yeah. So it should be good. Jazz are currently 1-9 in their last 10.
Yeah. Or it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, that's true. It would be great.
Pretty great.
Currently, we're at the number one odds for the number... Well, I mean, we're tied for number one odds at the number one pick for Tankathon. We have the worst record in the NBA. We almost have 60 losses.
I'm surprised we caught the Wizards.
I am.
They just
honestly won
like 6 games for no reason. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah. it's weird. We got a game ahead of them, so we're in a pretty good spot. And honestly, I feel like at this point, we've pretty much locked up those number one odds. Fourth place, which would be the one who would knock us off, is 4.5 games behind us.
Right.
Fifth place is 7.5. We're definitely safe from that.
So with any doubt, we have a 14% chance at Cooper Flag is basically what we're saying.
So we could honestly even win the rest. We probably couldn't win the rest, but we could compete and be okay, I think, honestly, at this point. So.
And I guess speaking of picks, I guess just also mention the Timberwolves. They've actually been kind of on a heater, so we still have their pick. Right now it's at 18.
Oh, man.
So just if it ended today, we'd have number one odds and the 18th pick.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. There's some good guys that could be at 18.
That's
you never
right.
know.
Yeah, we also talked earlier in the season about San Antonio possibly having multiple lottery picks, but it looks like Atlanta's been playing better.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're out of the lottery as well, which is
good.
Thank
goodness.
And San Antonio's actual pick is at 8 right now, so they've, you know, just average odds like everybody else, so... That's good. That's good. It doesn't look like any other lottery teams are like stacked. So we're in good shape, I think.
For sure. And then we actually have I guess maybe let's talk about the Kessler 3 experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
So I know we already mentioned in the, was it the Grizzlies game he shot 8 threes or the Cavs game.
But yes, there was a post by an NBA insider, or no, it was an interview with Kessler where he said that the Jazz have given him like freedom to work on that part of his game, those three-pointers.
Yeah.
And so what, like 5 days ago they said he'd taken like 16 threes in the last five games. I think we counted, or now it's 16 threes in the last five games. He has 33 on the season now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's made like four of them probably.
Yeah.
But kind of interesting. I think I remember watching his tape out of college when he was at Auburn and North Carolina. And that was a part of his like highlight reel, was hitting some threes. So it surprised me that it wasn't part of his game at all with the Jazz. I don't know. Do you think that that's a worthy cause, or do you think it's just better to have him be good at what he's good at? Or
I think that honestly, these games don't matter.
Yeah.
So I'm down for it. Let's see some Kessler threes. We're not trying to win anyways right now. That being said, if next year we're trying to compete, maybe I'm not so hot on Kessler threes.
That's true.
But when the games don't matter, I say, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. It's like, it doesn't hurt anything. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to at least have, even, I don't think he's ever going to turn into like a stretch big, but if he's a guy that you at least have to respect, then that like spreads the floor a lot.
Right.
And he's a good scorer inside. So like that would, I think he could become an all-star if he adds, you know, three a game.
Yeah, I mean, if we're a good team, he might already be a borderline all-star with the defense, but the offense would help a lot.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool little experiment. Why not?
Maybe it's just tanking disguised. I don't know, but I'm excited for it.
Maybe we need to get Oscar Tshiebwe hitting some threes. Maybe he could find a spot in the
maybe
with his rebounding. But and then Isaiah Collier,
our boy.
We talked about him last week. John Stockton's assist record, rookie assist record, 415 in a total assist in his rookie year. Isaiah Collier is at 412 with, what, 7 games left? 8 games left?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. That's actually pretty wild. To be mentioned with John Stockton, is, especially with assists, is pretty cool.
And I just to clarify, that's a Jazz record, right? I think.
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if it's up there, but I know that Mark Jackson had 868.
Yeah.
So insane. They're not even close to that, but
cool. Still, like, a Jazz record is still pretty amazing.
That is,
and
pretty cool.
Like John Stockton, you know, he started out as a rookie, maybe people thought he would be a good player.
Yeah.
Decent. I don't know how, he wasn't really drafted super high.
Mm.
He ended up being Hall of Famer.
Legend.
Right? So who knows about Isaiah Collier,
best
right?
Passer ever,
he's coming into the league. Nobody really thought he was going to be that good to start out. He had some people sleeping on him.
Yeah.
Putting his name up there with John Stockton. Who knows, right?
That's right.
Could be a Hall of, that's maybe too much, but he could be a really good player on this Jazz team for years to come.
Yeah. I think a big part of it for me too, like we've talked about the confidence thing. How much it can change a player's game. Like, I feel like that would just be a cool thing if your organization, like, you break an absolute legend's record, and just the confidence that would give you moving forward to continue to develop that part of your game. I hope that that's something that just springs him into something even better next year and the year after.
Amen to that. And then I guess, just an update on the Jazz injury report too. Our boy Jordan Clarkson, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. He's getting a procedure on his foot for plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out. I know you mentioned this before we recorded, but I'm going to ask it to you. Do you think that's the last we see of Jordan Clarkson on the Jazz? Because he's not playing the rest of the year?
Yeah, I personally think it is, but I don't even know with him at this point, because I feel like we've been like the last two seasons we've predicted he's going to be moved to the deadline, or like if we've at least had the conversation, and it hasn't seemed to happen. So the Jazz must feel differently than we do about Jordan Clarkson. And I think, let me see, he's locked up next year contract, so the Jazz would have to trade him. I hope he moves on, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know. Do you think Jordan Clarkson could be like the missing piece for any of the playoff teams?
I agree. Yeah.
I know he's going to just be a good boost for any bench in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know, like maybe, I don't know if the Nuggets need to score off the bench. That could maybe help them out a little bit.
Yeah, honestly.
Who else? Maybe the Knicks.
Yeah.
Because you know the Knicks need more bodies.
Yeah.
Maybe he could go to the Knicks. But I'm sure there's like a handful of playoff teams that could use a little bit more bench depth and scoring.
I could see him being good on the Warriors.
Yeah.
Just thinking of that like Jordan Poole role, tongue twister, who just kind of came and hit tough shots. Like, that's what Jordan Clarkson does. So, I don't know. That could be a good fit. But we don't, the Warriors don't seem to want to negotiate any good deals. So, maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah. I'm sure he was thrown around in that trade talk. But
yeah.
I could honestly picture him in a Warriors jersey and it just fits.
I could see it.
But I also say, if this is the last time we see Jordan Clarkson,
what a legend!
What a Jazz legend!
Absolutely,
he'll definitely have his name in the record books for the Jazz for a
while.
And honestly, when he first got here to the Jazz, I didn't think he'd be here this long.
Yeah,
I thought he might just have like a little stint here, like Korver or Crowder, or any of those guys. But he stayed along. He played so well for so long.
You love it when guys just embrace the organization too. Like,
yeah.
There's so many iconic moments, like the interview with the reporter and the...
Yeah.
Just,
have you been to many Jazz games?
Yeah. He's like spelling his name for her. And even I remember some stories in the bubble of him just like being the life of the party. And it's, man, what a guy.
Yeah. He's always got his family at the game. His like little daughter. It's cute. Yeah. And then, of course, you can't forget when he got the triple-double last year. That was such a big moment.
That was so hard.
Low-key, that might have been the top moment of the year.
Was so hype. I did see, though, I forgot to mention this before, but Fanatics, I think it was, has been having like a big sale on Jazz stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they've been like a big discount on is Jordan Clarkson, like the new Mountain jerseys. And Lowry Markkanen. So maybe it doesn't mean anything because Lowry's not going anywhere, but just kind of interesting that one's on sale. Maybe they're trying to get out
ahead
of it.
You're trying to read too deep into it.
Maybe, yeah. You know, but you never, they could be trying to get out ahead of it, but they probably don't know either. So it's kind of interesting. How's your March Madness bracket doing?
Dude, it's not great, but it's good enough. It's like, I think you can see the percentile of all the brackets.
Yeah.
I'm a 50.1%.
Oh, let's go.
Completely average bracket.
Yeah. Dang.
But we'll take it. I think we're pretty close on the leaderboard.
Yeah. This year's, I feel like I would be cool to see the distribution for this year's like brackets, because it's like, I feel like there's probably a lot of good ones this year because it's just so chalk. I think it's all 1 and 2 seeds in the Elite Eight except for Texas Tech, who's a 3 seed. So that's pretty chalk as well.
Right.
What have you thought of this March Madness to this point?
Dude, honestly, I'm a little disappointed, and I've heard a few people say that.
Me too.
I'm a guy that lives for the upsets or the buzzer beaters, the overtimes, the close games. We'll talk about some moments, but there hasn't been a lot of those. The ones we have had, I'm so grateful for. I love it.
Yeah.
But there's just not been enough moments that I'm as excited as other years. Like the last couple of years, we've been pretty spoiled. We had a 16 seed win. Mm-hmm. We had a Final Four with no 1 seeds 1 year.
Yeah.
We had like a lot of the 12-5 and 11-6 upsets happen.
Yeah.
Just lots of great games. And even I think most years there's like a 13-plus seed that wins.
Yeah.
Not this year. It's been very standard.
Super
a lot
chart.
Of blowouts. Yeah. Still great basketball being played, but not as many close games.
Yeah. It's pretty... Honestly, that's what... I've been seeing a lot of talk about like why it's the case. I mean, we're seeing a lot of like players, good players from mid-majors go to these big programs. Like the top teams right now, except for Duke, like Jani Broome at Auburn, he came from
Morehead State.
Alabama's guys, Mark Sears and Grant Nelson, both came from mid-majors.
Kobe Brea went to Kentucky from Dayton.
Kobe Brea was in Kentucky. Yeah, it's just like, it's kind of sad. I'm really hoping that this year is just like an anomaly and it's not like the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be really sad if this is just how March Madness is. It kind of takes away the magic, to be honest. But
maybe the transfer portal's too OP, Like if you're a good player, you just get to a good team like real quick.
Yeah. Get but yourself a bag. I don't hate it for them either. I mean, I'd go get money myself.
I would too. Maybe the thing that we need is just like a year for the mid-major guys to improve.
Yeah.
Or that's true. Some diamonds in the rough to be under-recruited.
Yeah.
Because it seems like all the good players from the lower teams just got snatched up.
Yeah. I think college sports in general are just in a really tough spot right now because they just kind of opened the floodgates and now they can't get any of it back in. You know, mm-hmm. like there's even been talk about like when to open the transfer portal because the transfer portal opened on Monday and there's still teams right. playing. But like if you think about it, you have to like go with academic deadlines because there's still students. So like I get why they have to have the transfer portal earlier rather than later.
But yeah.
But then you've got guys who are supposed to be worrying about finals, who are like worrying about where they're going to go to school next year. And it's like, it's such a mess.
Yeah, I personally think the transfer portal is a little too much for me. Because like, I know the jokes about like the football players. And once they get to the NFL, when they introduce themselves, they'll say like their name and then Alabama, Michigan State, Michigan, Oklahoma State. You know, they're just going to say all this. Four or five schools they went to.
Yeah.
That's a little weird for me. I think the transfer portal is totally fine, yeah. but maybe like just one transfer, like maybe you can't transfer to a third school. I don't know. It's maybe some sort of limit on it.
I wish there was a way we could go back to some kind of like, cause before the transfer portal, you transferred and then you had to redshirt a year or had to wait a year to play at that new school.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's like, maybe that's a bit extreme, but I wonder if there, we have to like make it so that there's some kind of like cost to transferring other than moving schools. Like it has to be some kind of, a year is a lot, but I don't know what you would do. It's just kind of a crazy problem to solve, but.
Yeah, but I think there's got to be some sort of meeting where they hopefully talk about this.
I hope so.
Because I think that could be part of the reason March Madness wasn't as hype.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do have I have five top moments.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to try guessing them or I could just kind of spout them off.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. So these are my top moments from March Madness. Maybe you could say if I'm missing any that you liked.
Yeah.
But number one, I'm going to be biased. It's BYU's run.
Yeah.
BYU has not made the Sweet 16 since Jimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And this was such an exciting year for them. So as a BYU fan, I had to put them first. I'm sure you might have done the same.
I respect it.
But man, Richie Saunders, his whole run with the Tater Tot King, Yegor, Kevin Young in his first season getting there. Just what a run. And then that Wisconsin game came right down the wire. Gave me so much anxiety. Yeah.
Me and my roommates came home and ate some tots after that game. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, I still got to redeem my tots from Smith's.
It's pretty sick.
But that was super hype.
Yeah, it's hype.
Number two, I'm going to say is that Texas Tech comeback the other night.
That was nice.
I loved watching that game because that being said, Arkansas would have been the upset. They were doing so well. Texas Tech rolled back and won the game after being down 16.
Yeah.
Taking it into our first overtime game of the tournament, too. That was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember when BYU played Texas Tech. That one guy is like Javion Williams or...
Oh, yeah.
Davion Williams or something like that. He was a beast against BYU. He was also a beast against Arkansas where he actually hit one of the most clutch threes to take them to overtime.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great game for him. And then my third one, I'm just going to put upsets.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I put the Drake, Colorado State, and Arkansas upsets. Just, I'm a big guy that loves upsets.
Yeah.
I think Drake had one of my players of the tournament in Bennett Sturts.
Dude, he's good. Did you see he transferred with his coach too?
Oh, really? Where did he go?
His coach just left to go to Iowa, and Bennett Sturts just followed him to Iowa.
Oh, dang. So Iowa's going to be pretty good next year,
I think.
That'd
be pretty decent, yeah. That's a good corner piece, but yeah, anyways.
Yeah, so loved him. Colorado State was a good story because their Mountain West Conference has done pretty bad the past couple years.
Clifford, I think, was their guy. He's a baller.
Yeah, yeah. And then Arkansas, that game against St. John's was a masterpiece, even though there's like 50 fouls.
Yeah.
I loved watching that one.
I was low-key happy for, I've never been a John Calipari hater. I think it's it must be tough being the Kentucky head coach, and I'm happy to see him do well in another spot, because he's a good coach, even, you know, and like I think he showed that to everybody that he can coach anybody and, you know, do well. So
they're totally underdogs too. Absolutely. They started the season poorly.
Yeah,
had a ton of injuries to deal with.
10 seed in the tournament, got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, they did so well this year.
I think they're the only double digit seed in the Sweet 16, which is crazy. Pretty well.
And they had a tough path.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then number five, this one's debatable, but I put the McNeese equipment manager popping
Let's
off.
Let's go, yeah.
And also McNeese upsetting, who was it, Clemson?
Yeah, I heard rumors. This might have just been a rumor, but I heard rumors he was actually going to follow his coach too, to NC State. I don't know if that was, I couldn't tell if it was a joke or not, because it seemed like it was kind of legit. But anyways, he seems
I don't know either.
He seems like a total G. So
yeah, he got like a TurboTax commercial overnight.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Shout out to him for just being aura.
Yeah, Amir Aura Khan. Let's go.
Yeah, but I don't know. Did I miss any? Those are my five.
Oh man, I think honestly there was some good games that like weren't up. Like I know that High Point lost to Purdue pretty early, but I thought High Point looked really good. I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, dang, these guys are like, if they had a better matchup, they might have made a run this year.
Yeah,
I really liked them.
UC San Diego had a great game in really the first round against Michigan.
That's another team, Michigan, who I was actually like, their lineup is kind of insane. Like,
yeah.
Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf.
Yeah.
Holy, like, it feels like when you're watching Michigan, it feels like you're watching like 5'7" on the floor. Those guys are so long. It's pretty crazy, but.
Yeah, and Danny Wolf low-key plays like Jokic.
Yeah, he
like
does.
Like, he can pass pretty well, so he's fun to watch.
He does, yeah. Yeah, he's another one of those mid-major guys from Yale or whatever. But mm-hmm. Yeah, good tournament, though. Is your like Final Four still alive? Or?
Yeah, my Final Four is still alive.
Let's go.
I think I got 5 out of the 8 in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
So not terrible. But I guess who's... Your prediction from here on out, let's say you just started a bracket right now from Elite Eight to champion.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be your Final Four and your winner?
Oh, man. Well, 3 of my Final Four is still alive. I still really like those picks. Duke, I think Duke's just...
I'm picking Duke,
they're
too.
They're good. I still like Houston. They looked a little rough yesterday. But Houston just suffocates teams. Like, Purdue had like 30 points in the first half and then... like barely 30 in the second half.
Yeah, it's tough to score.
It's tough to beat Houston. So I'd say Houston's going to get there. And then I still like Michigan State. I think they're a team you could grind it out. I've just never been a believer in Auburn. I thought they'd get this far, but I think that might be the end of the road. And then I had Maryland. I was really excited about Maryland. That was kind of my gamble pick a little bit. But I'm going to be rooting for Texas Tech. We need some Big 12 boys.
Honestly, I'm rooting for the Big 12, even if it's different from my bracket.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough game, though. Florida's pretty good. But
I don't know if they'll be able to beat Florida, though. I'll probably have to choose Florida if That's I'm just fair. Going for who I think will win.
That's fair.
And honestly, we're just chalking it up, except maybe Michigan State, I guess.
Yeah. And you think Michigan State's going to win, or are you going to
Auburn?
I'd
say Florida. I put Michigan State in my bracket to beat Florida,
really?
So
me too.
I'm going to be rooting for them, but yeah. I do think Florida will end up winning. They've just played so well this year.
Fair.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, and then I have Michigan State playing Duke and losing to Duke in the championship. I just think Duke is, if barring any crazy injuries, knock on wood, I think that's going to be the toughest team to beat, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I think Duke's going to take it. It's either Duke or Florida, and I think... That's fair.
Yeah.
Like, people kind of realize that's what we're going with this year. But I will say, if Houston and Duke play each other, that's going to be a crazy matchup.
Yeah.
Because I think Houston matches up actually really well against
Duke.
They do. So I don't know. I think they could give him some trouble.
And Cooper Flagg is, I feel like he's just now figuring out college basketball. I mean, he's always been good, but like in their last game against Arizona, he had 30 points and like 8 or 9 assists or something.
Yeah.
Like, he was responsible for almost 60 points. And it's like, dude, this guy, he's tough to game plan for.
I hope the Jazz get him.
I know. We need him so bad, bro. Yeah. So it should be fun. I'm excited. I think Elite Eight starts tonight.
Yeah, it does.
I think we get Duke and Bama and was it Florida, Texas Tech, yeah, I think, tonight.
I think that's should be fun. And then I guess speaking of Cooper Flagg, he's probably the obvious answer, but maybe who do you think has boosted their draft stock the most in this tournament?
Well, I think Cooper Flagg already kind of had that number one locked up.
So he couldn't have gone up at all if he's already at number one. He's at number zero now. I don't know.
I do think Derek Queen made a good, even though it probably was a travel. But
I agree, but I wouldn't have called it just in the moment.
Yeah, that's a tough one to call in that moment. Other guys, I do really like Jahni Broome. I feel like you have to have him in a conversation, even though he's probably not a early first round guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jahni Broome's just got such a unique skill set that I really
like. Yeah, I feel like he could be like the Jaime Jaquez of this draft.
I could see it. Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. What guy do you think? Are there any guys stand out to you?
Well, I don't know what you think about this, but do you think Mark Sears?
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. Like, he had that amazing game against BYU.
Yeah. LeBaron Filon, who
LeBaron Filon's
talked
been
about
a beast.
Him. He was hitting threes, too. So, yeah, some of those
Bama guys could go pretty good in that first round.
I feel like Mark Sears is in a similar situation to Jahni Broome, where it's like he's just been in college basketball for so long that it's like there's probably a cap as far as like how high in the draft he could get. I could see him being a good NBA player. In a similar vein, Caleb Love totally balled out against Duke.
Yeah.
But in the same situation, he's like older. So it's just tough.
Yeah. I'll also say those other Duke guys, like, what's the big center's name? Malawak. Dude.
He's good.
I didn't even know about Malawak till the tournament. Yeah. I think he's rising up draft boards too, along with Konkanipal. They're both probably going to be. I don't know. They could both be lottery picks, low-key. At least the first round for those three Duke guys.
Dude, you know who's a guy that I've kind of like low-key fallen in love with this game? Is Cohen Carr, Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I low-key think he might be the best, like the most athletic player in the draft. Like, there was, I don't know if you saw it, but last night there was a dunk where he totally like, he cocked back for a dunk, but it seemed like he like touched the back of his shoe. He was just like up there, dude. I was like, holy cow. I don't know how high he could get. He's not a great shooter, but man, that type of athleticism you don't find everywhere. So,
oh, not at all.
I could see him moving up a little.
Dude, I like looked it up during that game. Like, is this guy related to Antoine Carr?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was not. Don't worry.
Oh, okay,
but,
that's fair.
But he does have that last name, Carr.
Yeah.
I think he had the same number, too, like 40.
Yeah.
Or he was close number.
Similar look, too.
Anyways.
Yeah.
And then one more guy, JT Toppin.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably got to be a lottery pick now, right?
Absolutely.
I would think so,
yeah.
But, man, a lot of guys. Actually, if I look at this draft on Tankathon, Malawak is number 7 right now,
holy
and Konkanipal is number 8.
Yeah.
So, like, those guys are rising a lot. Derek Queen's in the lottery. Jace Richardson's in the lottery for Michigan State. Yegor's in the lottery in this one.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I will say, though, I think Yegor, I think he played his best stretch of games in the tournament, honestly.
Yeah. I think he's solidified his lottery, or at least maybe 15, 16.
Yeah, he made some comments after the game suggesting he might stay, but I do think that he definitely, his stock rose again a little, which is good. He desperately needed, he's had some really bad games this year, and I'm happy for him, obviously.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of guys you got to talk about, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be a good draft. I'm excited for the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be so hype.
And then I guess just a small NBA news. This doesn't directly relate to the Jazz, but our boy Joe Ingles.
Oh, man.
This was a little while ago. We forgot to talk about it when it happened, I think. If you don't know, his son has autism and is not really able to go to the games just because of the noise and the commotion and stuff.
Sensory stuff, yeah.
But recently, like, his son's been able to go to a game or two. And this was cool. The coach of the Timberwolves put Joe Ingles in the starting lineup the game that his son was there. And so that's like the first time that his son got to watch him play.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just like the kind of stuff that makes you feel good.
Yeah. We always forget about like the human side of the NBA too. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think he mentioned to his family still living in Orlando. I'm sure it's hard for it to have kids who are like on the spectrum and to be keep moving and stuff, you know? Yeah. So he's probably living in Minnesota by himself without his family.
Traveling all over.
And his wife's taking care of their son, which is probably difficult by herself.
Yeah.
Anyways, but we love Joe Ingles. Let's be honest. Would anybody really be mad if we had a Joe Ingles statue outside of the Delta Center? I don't think anybody would be upset.
Utah Jazz all-time three-point leader.
That's right.
So he's in the books.
I think we build it. Let's just take down the hockey puck. We don't really need it. Put the Joe Ingles statue right there.
Yeah, but that good story. Great to see Joe start and have his son there watching.
Yeah, we love Joe Ingles. A little Utah Hockey Club update. I think we lost a couple games this week, but 32-29-12 is the record.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're pretty close to being out, I think. I think we said that last week.
Yeah, I mean, we keep saying that.
Yeah, but the record doesn't seem to be improving, and we've been a couple of spots out for a little while, and their season's got to be coming to a close as well.
Yeah, I mean,
they play a similar amount of games.
They got 9 games left.
Okay.
That's not a lot.
So actually, I'm changing my prediction. 9 game win streak we're in. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I guess we can't really do as crazy of lines for hockey. It's like a 1-point win, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but dang. Yeah, we got to go on like a crazy run. Otherwise, this is probably it.
Yeah.
I mean, we already talked about it last episode, but still better outcome than I would have expected from the hockey team.
Honestly.
So shout out to them.
Yep.
And then we already kind of talked about BYU. Sad loss to Alabama. Yeah. Did you watch the whole game or did you have to like turn it off?
I did. Unfortunately. There's not a team in the world who's going to beat a team who hits 25 threes in a game. That's just
crazy.
NCAA tournament. I don't know if it's a tournament record or just an overall
tournament record.
Okay. Yeah. But they took 49 threes, I believe. Just insane. They kind of beat us at our own game. That's kind of what we do to other teams. And so I'm excited about the future of BYU basketball, though. I think I do think we looked like we belonged in this game, even though they just got hot and stayed hot. Yegor mentioned that AJ might be a reason he'd want to stay. Who knows? I wouldn't count on it, but I think Richie will be back, is my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere.
We got AJ coming in. Savion Stanton I'm excited about. I think one of our main problems is we need some bigs. Like, I love Kaba, but we need some, like, actual guys who can fight in the paint. Yeah. Savion Stanton's definitely that, but he's a freshman, so who knows where
he'll
come
be coming in.
But anyways.
I'm right there with you. Like, when we found out about the Kevin Young hire, we're hyped, right?
Yeah.
We're like optimistic. This guy's NBA experience. He's already getting like the best recruiting class we've seen ever.
Yep.
Get AJ, like it just seems like things just keep getting better and better and better.
Yep.
And then in his first season, he makes the Sweet 16.
That's wild.
And that's something that Mark Pope couldn't do. David Rose only could do it with Jimmer, I think. Crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's totally tons of reason to be optimistic and just be grateful for the season that we had. It's a great one.
I saw somebody, I think it was on a Reddit thread, that said that the Arkansas-Kentucky-BYU trade was a win-win-win because all three of them in their first year at their new program were all in the Sweet 16, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Even though they all three lost, actually, interestingly enough, but...
Yeah, but Sweet 16 is a good season.
Yeah, it's pretty
And then
awesome.
Honestly, if you look back on the year, I mean, you had some really good games in the Marriott Center.
Yeah.
You beat Arizona on the road in that crazy game.
Top 10 team at the time.
You beat Kansas at home. That was by 40, right? The worst loss of Kansas's career, basically. Yeah, I mean, there's just so many moments you look back on. You're like, man, this actually was really a good year.
Yeah. And I honestly felt like going into the season, we were really stacked, but I realized this year we were much more stacked than I even realized. Like, I think I'm excited to see what Brody Keselowski can do. I'm really excited. I really like his game. I think he's had a finger injury this year. And then guys like Isaiah Crawford.
Elijah Crawford.
Sorry, I don't know why I said Isaiah Collier is what I was thinking, actually. Elijah Crawford is going to be good. Dawson Baker's got another year. Dallin Hall. Like all these guys. We'll lose Trevanell, but we can...
Yeah, we can get a shooter in the portal, maybe.
Yeah, we can find some. I think Dawson Baker deserves more minutes, in my opinion, so maybe he'll fill a role, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just exciting. And guys are going to want to come play with AJ. I would want to come play with AJ, honestly. You don't get to play with players like that very often.
Especially if you're a shooter or defender. Like, yeah. Come on, get over here.
Yeah, we need to find our Malawach, Con Knipple, who like can be the right-hand man of Cooper Flagg.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess we got Richie, so that's good enough. But
yeah, we just need our Malawach.
That's right.
Where is he? Maybe Stan.
Yeah, that's right.
But thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz Podcast. It has been a real one. We've loved talking about March Madness.
Yes, sir.
And it's been a great season for the Jazz. Even though we've been tanking, there's good things to look forward to. Make sure to check out our past episodes. We've really broken down the draft and some guys that you should look for in March Madness. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Give us a good rating. And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.